Now we continue our series of messages on the kingdom of God, knowing that it was a central message of Jesus as he came and taught the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus says, it's so important that you understand the kingdom because as you seek the kingdom first and God's righteousness, then all of the blessings of God, all these things become available to you. And we would like to be part of a group of people who are hungry for all God's blessings. I don't want to go partway. In fact, our great prayer is while we are learning about the kingdom of God, it just wouldn't be a knowing, but it would be a growing. That we're just not adding facts and going, okay, there's a scripture, I haven't seen that before. But literally there would be a hunger, a new hunger in our heart that says, I don't want to just know about the kingdom of God, I want to grow in the kingdom of God. I'm going to try again. I'll just try again. We just don't want to know about the kingdom of God. We want to grow in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a growing place. In fact, the chapter we are in is Matthew chapter 13. It's a very important chapter in understanding the kingdom of God. Jesus tells a series of stories or parables. And all of those stories in that chapter are to help us to understand what God's kingdom is like. And he will say, well, the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this. So we can get a fuller understanding, and we can know more about the kingdom, but not just to add to knowledge so that we are able to grow in the kingdom. In fact, the first three stories that we've already covered are all about growing. And they have similarities. There are three elements, and if you've been here, there are three elements in the first three stories about the kingdom of God, and there are three identical elements. And if you've been here, put on your thinking cap, or I'm sure you've taken some notes. And there's three things that are in the first three stories that help us to understand the kingdom of God, and those three things are... there's seed, that's one. There's a sower, that's two. And there's soil, that's three. Three elements in the first three stories. So there is the sower in the first, second, and third story. There is the seed. And there's the soil. Now, when you are listening to someone and they get on a roll or they get doing the same thing over and over again, you get to know how they are. Or you can see the plot. And this is kind of like the plot of the kingdom. So as Jesus tells the first story, then the second story, and the third story, you can kind of say, well, okay, the fourth story will probably also have a soil and seed and a sower, probably. But in the fourth story, Jesus throws a curveball. He kind of breaks the pattern. He changes the plot, unlike Hallmark movies. Hallmark movie, once you know, see a Hallmark movie, you've seen one? You've seen them all. Darla loves Hallmark movies. And here's how they all go. The guy she doesn't like in the opening 5 minutes, she's going to marry in the last 5 minutes. That's the plot of every Hallmark movie. And so I'll be there in the first 5 minutes, and I'll say, well, that's the guy right there. Obviously, that's the one she's going to marry because she doesn't like him, and that's going to be it's all going to come together in the last 5 minutes, and they're going to get married. So you would think, here's Jesus telling the story. Sower, seed, soil, sower, seed, soil, sower, seed, soil. And then he comes to the 33rd verse, which is the fourth parable. And it's a very short parable. It's a one-verse parable. There's a few of those in the Bible. And he throws a curveball. And here it is. He says, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, those are synonymous. The kingdom of heaven is like... what's it say? Yeast. Or your version may say leaven. And that was a curveball. There's no soil, no seed. Now there's yeast. And if you got a pen, circle that word. That's a curveball. And it's yeast that a woman, and you can circle that word too. That's a curveball. That a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough and changed everything. Now, when Jesus said the word yeast, it was shocking. Now, to this audience, just looking at you, you don't seem to be very shocked. It's not soil or seed or sower, it's yeast. But in Jesus' day, and to his Jewish friends that he was talking to, for Jesus to say the kingdom of God is like yeast was shocking. Because until this point, yeast was bad. Yeast was from the Passover, when they had to leave slavery. How many would agree slavery was bad? Right? Remember that night, and he says, okay, as you leave, I don't want you to put any yeast or any leaven in your bread. I want you just to bake it quickly and get out of there. Every year, the Jewish people would have what was called the feast or the festival of Passover. It was a week long. And during that week, yeast was banned big time. So for Jesus to say, the kingdom of God is like yeast, and if you're taking notes, it was a big surprise. Somebody say surprise. And if you want to note this, the kingdom of God is full of surprises. You know what yeast is? Any bakers in the house? Anyone that bakes? It gets into dough, and it causes it to rise. And if you were with us last week, we said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Well, yeast, and we said the mustard seed is very small. Yeast is even smaller. This is a packet of yeast. Yeast is even smaller than a mustard seed. Yeast is like dust. It's so small, just if you haven't seen it lately. Ooh. There's like 1,000 pieces of it right there. It's like dust. You see how small it is? This sermon is going to rise because it's yeast. Now, for Jesus' listeners, for him to say the kingdom of God is like yeast, they would go, oh, Jesus, don't you know about Passover? Yeast is bad. We have to get rid of yeast. In fact, there's a verse in your study guide of instruction that is given regarding the Passover week. And it says, for 7 days, you are to eat bread made without yeast. Because why? Because yeast is, it's bad. It reminds us of slavery. Yeast is bad. Get rid of the yeast. And on the first day, not only do you eat bread without yeast, you have to get rid of all of the yeast from your house. On the first day, remove the yeast from your house. You'd have every cupboard you'd have to go through. If there was yeast on your floor, like there's yeast on my floor right now, you'd have to get a broom out and sweep it all out. You'd have to remove all of the yeast from your house. For whoever eats anything with yeast, just one Krispy Kreme donut. If you eat anything with yeast from the first day through to the seventh day, you will be cut off from Israel. We will kick you out. That was serious, wasn't it? Now get this. Jesus surprises them. When he says the kingdom of God is like yeast, he's saying what other people and religious tradition has been saying has been bad. Don't let a little leaven of the Pharisees get into you. It's bad. I'm going to tell you that when the kingdom of God gets a hold of things, it changes everything. The kingdom of God is like yeast. Surprise. Give me a good surprise.
Surprise.
The kingdom of God is like yeast.
Surprise.
No, like it's my birthday.
Surprise.
You did better on that one. You did. I'll give that to you. It was shocking. And get this truth, that the kingdom of God changes everything so completely. It takes something that has been religiously bad, a situation that has been bad, a person that has been bad, it turns them all around, and the kingdom of God is like yeast.
Surprise!
Surprise! Which means that in this house, God loves when surprising people show up. He loves when yeasty people show up. And we have to get this. Surprising people are welcome in God's house. Because the kingdom of God, it's like yeast. There's some yeasty people in this house. I can tell just by looking at you. I also can tell because the Bible says so. Here's what Paul says. God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He loves to choose yeasty people. Because when God chooses a yeasty person, who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? Who gets the honor? He loves to turn people around. It was bad, but the kingdom shows up. Surprise! That's a bad person. Surprise! I don't think God can do anything with that kind of person. Surprise! My circumstance is so bad. I've come to church today, but my circumstance is so bad. Surprise! The kingdom of God is here. Everything could change. I grew up in a small country church. And every church has characters in it. This, including this church, characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. He's speaking about you. And we had characters in our small country church. We had characters. One of my favorite in my small country church was a guy named Ernie. Ernie was a character. He had spent most of his life in prison. The majority of his adult life, he was in prison. Because he was taught as a child to be a thief, his mother taught him how to steal. And he was rewarded for being a thief. He became an armed robber. He robbed banks. He stuck up stores. He shot at people. He was wanted by the FBI in the United States. He was wanted by Canadian authorities. He was a lifetime criminal. And he was never, ever to get out of prison, except several times he escaped. He was also an escape artist. Out of maximum security prisons, Ernie had escaped multiple times until they put him in what we would call a supermax, like one you can't break out of. That's where Ernie was. And he was to be there for the rest of his life. While he was in prison for the rest of his life, he started to tie fishing flies, which are like hooks with feathers on them. You know what? They're for fishermen. And he would sell them so that he could make money while he was behind bars. And there was a man in our church who had a sporting goods store and started to buy the fishing flies from Ernie, eventually went to the prison and talked to Ernie about Jesus and said, Ernie, if you give your life to Jesus, Jesus will give his life to you and it will change everything. And in prison, Ernie gave his heart to Jesus, Jesus gave his life to Ernie, and even though he was in prison and in bars, he was the freest person in there because that's what Jesus does. Then miraculously, through a series of events, he got out. He was released. And the businessman who had told him about Jesus hired him to be a cashier and watch the cash. That's how the kingdom rolls. The kingdom of God is not like Hallmark. It's like yeast. Surprise! There's another surprise in this one verse parable. And I know some of you wondered how I could get a whole message out of one verse. I could do a whole series on this verse. But there's another surprise. Would you like to see it? That wasn't enough. Would you, no, this, and this would be especially a blessing to the sisters. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Well, the sisters want to see it. I see that. Because this would be a shock. It would be a surprise. Okay, in the first three stories where there's a sower and there's seed in the soil, the sower is always a guy. The Jewish culture was a male-dominated culture. Someone just said surprise. In fact, women were a little bit above slavery. They were handled as chattel and property. So the first three stories, the sower is a guy. The sower, a guy. Sower, a guy. Sower, a guy. Everyone's nodding their head, says, well, of course, that's the way it should be. And then Jesus throws a curveball. In the fourth story, the yeast is placed into the dough by a woman. You mean that in the kingdom of God, women are part of the solution? They're part of spreading the kingdom of God, of taking the yeast and putting it into culture? You mean God uses women? Surprise! And in Jesus' day, that would have been a surprise. And even today, it's a surprise for some people. Billy Graham has a wonderful ministry family. His son is a great preacher, and his daughter is a preacher. His daughter went once to preach to a group of ministers, and in the service that she was preaching, about the back half of the auditorium picked their chairs up like this, like we have, detached them and turned them so that the back of their head was facing her because she was a woman and she was teaching. God's still using her. The kingdom of God uses surprising people that sometimes religion writes off, sometimes culture writes off, and they may be sitting amongst us, and this is an application for you. If you feel like you are too small for God to use, if you felt a mustard seed was too big for you, I got some yeast. It's like dust. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. The big message about the kingdom of God is God sees more in you than you see in yourself. Surprise! Now, for many of these surprising people that are amongst us and live in our community, Sarasota has some characters. I'm going to say that again. Sarasota has some characters. It's an arts community. The kingdom of God wants them. The kingdom of God wants them. And when God starts working in these surprising people, he often does it in a hidden way. You see how this woman in verse 33, she took the yeast and she hid it. The Greek word is to like fold in. And she hid it inside. The Greek word is very similar to the word we use. The transliteration is en. She put the yeast in. We get this, like here's, you'd see this is the beginning of the word enjoy, which literally means to be in joy. That's where that comes from. Or enthusiasm. Actually, enthusiasm is a very religious word, very spiritual word. It means en theos, in God. In. It's used many times because it's a very simply little connecting word. Thousands of times it's used in the Bible. The first time it's used in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, where Mary was with en child, which means the child was inside her. That's how it works, right? I'm not an expert. That's how it works, right? So sisters, this is when I need some help. Come on. There's a place for you in the kingdom. Help the pastor out right now. So the same way Jesus was in Mary, the kingdom of God works from the inside out, not the outside in. Religious systems work from the outside in. The kingdom of God works deep inside of hearts, and sometimes you don't get it, and sometimes you don't understand it, but I promise you, the kingdom of God is at work. She hides it inside until it changes everything. Have you ever tried to watch dough rise? I don't recommend it. Because you'll be looking at it going, nothing happening. The best thing in the world is to do it at night and go to sleep. Wake up in the morning, and that which is hidden will have done its job. Working from the inside out. Let me tell you this, because this is one of the things the Lord said to me while I was preparing this message. There are people here that have planted the Word of God, the yeast of God's kingdom, into some lives, sons, daughters, grandson, granddaughter, and right now you can't see the visible working of that kingdom of God, but I'm here to promise you the yeast is at work and it will bear fruit. It will change everything. But you say, but they look strange right now. Surprise. They look like Ernie. He's life imprisonment. Surprise! The kingdom of God works behind bars and in bars. Wow, that was good. That just came out right there. That was revelation right there. Religious systems try to change people from the outside in, and you need to know here at the Church of Hope, we strive to let the kingdom work from the inside out, which is a much more difficult way to pastor people. It's much easier for me to just to give you a lot of rules. And this is what a real Christian looks like. They talk this way, they act this way, they look this way, they wear their hair this way, and we come up with all kinds of rules. Darla and I, when we were newly married, were in a church, and there was a lady in that church, and she had a lot of religious rules. I don't know if you've met one of these ladies. They're a piece of work. When she would greet Darla, she would grab Darla by the hand, she would flip her hand over, and she would look at her fingernails because she had a religious rule. Maybe from Leviticus somewhere. I can't even find the verse. Thou shalt not wear nail polish. And then just glare at her. Because she had a religious rule. It's not even in the Bible. Religious people love to make up rules that aren't even in the Bible. It's much more difficult to say, okay, I believe the yeast of God's kingdom is at work in you. We're going to give God time, even when we can't see it working. It's working in a hidden way, and we believe, watch this, that he that begun a good work in you, same thing, he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. Come on, somebody. Or there's another verse I put in your study guide. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He is working in you in hidden ways, even when you don't understand it and you can see it. He is working in you. Because that is how God chooses to work. The kingdom of God works in surprising people, works in hidden ways, and it is the way God has chosen to work. Hey, did you get this yet from the kingdom of God? Watch this. You get this? The seed without the soil accomplishes what? That's a good answer, so try it again. The seed without the soil accomplishes what?
Nothing.
The yeast without the dough accomplishes? In order for the kingdom that Jesus is teaching about, you are an essential part of that kingdom. By God's own choice and design, he has decided he needs divinity and humanity to work together to create this thing that he's calling the kingdom of God. And he has no plan B. When Jesus was on the earth, he was the visible manifestation of the kingdom of God. He taught his followers about the kingdom of God, and then he said, I'm going to leave the planet, and I'm going to leave the kingdom to you. And I want the kingdom of God to spread from you to the people around you. And if those followers hadn't have been yeast in their generation to pass on what they had received, we would not be here today. And now his plan is that the kingdom of God would be so active in your heart that it would affect the people that are around you. That's what yeast does. It spreads until it changes everything. So as we move through the kingdom of Sarasota, we bring the kingdom of God. It is God's great design to bring together in his great love story the humanity of man and the divinity of God and say, I need to plant my kingdom into your soil. I need to get my yeast into your dough because that's where the change takes place. It is, you are an essential part of what God plans to do in this generation. By his choice, he chooses to do that. And don't be quick to write people off. Because God uses yeasty people. Let's not be quick to say when someone comes in amongst us, I'm not so sure about that person. Maybe they're a bad person. And maybe they are. But that which has been called bad is turned good in the kingdom of God. That's what yeast is. That's what this lesson is. Yeast is good. I thought it was bad. Yeast is good. It's the kingdom of God. When a guy named Saul, who used to come into the churches in the New Testament and arrest people and throw them in jail for simply following Jesus, and then was part of murdering the first Christian leader, the martyr Stephen, you would have looked at Saul and said, Saul, you are a bad man. But Jesus says, I'm going to turn him around for good, because that's what the kingdom of God does. Surprise! When Peter gave up on his faith, when he denied Christ, when he swore he didn't know him, when he abandoned his faith and went back to fishing, you could say, maybe, Peter, you're not such a good guy. Maybe you're a bad example. But Jesus went looking for him on the seas of Galilee and said, no, the kingdom of God is like yeast. It takes bad people and it turns them around. It takes bad circumstances and it turns them around. There is no one in this place that God could not work the kingdom in because he wants to surprise the world. And the second application is to those that have been planting the good word of God's kingdom into people and you haven't seen the results yet, I promise you, the kingdom of God is working in a hidden way behind the scenes. Keep praying, keep believing, keep interceding, and keep trusting God that once the yeast has gone in, it's going to work. How does he say it? The word of God does not return void. It accomplishes the work of the kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're going to stand for prayer. Our prayer team is going to come immediately. We're going to close our eyes, open our hearts. And our great invitation, of course, is for everyone that is in the room to experience the King of the Kingdom. And that no one would say, this is for religious people. No, this is for you. No, this is for church people. No, this is for you. This is for people who are good. No, this is for you. The kingdom of God is like yeast. Up until this point, people said, bad, 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 bad yeast. Jesus turns it around and says, no, kingdom of God is like this. And he turns that which was bad for good. And that is the destiny of God on your life, to turn your life around so that it will fulfill the good purpose of the kingdom of God. So we opened our hearts to Jesus. Some for the first time and some for the first time in a long time. We say yes. And it's a simple prayer that I'm going to lead in and ask you to join in. It's a declaration of our faith today. I'm going to ask everyone, 100% of us, to pray this prayer together and open our lives in a fresh way to Jesus. So here's our prayer. Would you pray it out loud and just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I give you my life. And Jesus, I receive your life. I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now, if you're praying that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, it's essential, absolutely essential, you tell somebody before you leave. That's why our prayer team is here. So you can walk up and say, hey, I prayed with Scott, and I meant it. But the other thing is, all of us need to be asking, what is Jesus saying to me? What do I need to exercise my faith in today? What do I need to be prayed for today before I go? See, receiving prayer is an exercise of faith. And that's what pleases God. So our prayer team is here to pray by faith in whatever the Spirit of God wants to do in your life. While the prayer team is praying for people, if you'd like to receive communion, Holy Communion, from the left-hand side or the right-hand side, you can come up and receive the bread and the cup of the Lord and remember Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. Just be open and be a friend to Jesus. And he'll do a miracle in your life. I'm going to pray just one more blessing. And after that blessing, there's not a benediction. The worship team will begin to lead us. You can worship with them. You can receive prayer. I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit to use our prayer team and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can receive communion. You can go with the grace of God. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. We know that God has started a good work in you. And we may not get it all, but we're believing it's working. And we'd love you to come back. If you've been a guest here, please stop by the room specially prepared for you, the VIP room, because you're a VIP. It's back on the left-hand side. We'd like to meet you. There's some gifts we'd like to give to you. And even if you want a quieter place to pray, you're welcome to go in there. They'll pray with you there. They can pray back there as well as they can pray here. Jesus works all over this building. He works in the lobby and in every room he works. So I'm going to pray a blessing, and I want to thank you so much for just being with us. I want you to know that God loves to surprise us, so be open to, I was going to say weird people, yeasty people. When you can't see the working of the kingdom, believe he's working behind the scenes. Because that's how he's chosen to work. He has no plan B but to work through humanity. And the kingdom of God is amongst us, and the kingdom of God is in us. So as I pray this blessing, I'm going to open my hands towards heaven. If you'd like to receive this blessing, just close your eyes and also join me in opening your hands towards heaven. Lord, here are your sons and your daughters. They're reaching out to you. Their hands are open. Their hearts are open. I pray that you would bless them, that you would keep them in the center of your will, that you would cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. I pray that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in God, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of the resurrected Christ. And in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And all of the people say, amen. Bless the Lord. Wonderful to be together. Thank you so much. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion, and the peace of God be with us.